You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, August the 29th. And today, talking fantasy hoops with Josh Lloyd. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life. Just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over the decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, it's our annual special episode where we talk to Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball about the Detroit Pistons with your fantasy basketball drafts. He's going through every single team with the previews there, so you should check out those out on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, each and every host. And if you're looking to outsmart your buddies with the fantasy basketball drafts this year, you should listen to all those and you'll have all the insight from Josh, who does a great job. One of the most popular shows on the entire Locked On Podcast Network. So check him out there. And give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But before we get to Josh here, have you had a long day at work? Are you still stuck at the office? Open the DoorDash app. Choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Now, check us out to get the interview with Josh Lloyd, the annual show with me and Josh talking about the Detroit Pistons. So let's get it started. Josh, take it away.
To talk about the Pistons, I'm joined by the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, Matt Shook, is here to talk to me again about this Detroit team. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you having me. I'm sure this is the one that everyone's looking forward to, the Detroit Pistons.
Right? Always looking forward to talking Pistons here. Let's start where I have started all these shows, Matt, and that's by giving us a bit of a quick injury update. Of course, the man who was a little bit hobbled, to say the least, in the playoffs last year, Blake Griffin, with that knee injury. Is there any word that that's had any lingering problems?
No. It sounds like he had a scope after the season real quick, and it did cut into his off season a little bit. And I would say cut him down a couple weeks going into the summer. But since then, sounds like he's working hard just like he did last summer. So a little bit further along than he is most summers with the injury issues that he's had in the past. So kind of all positive on the injury front for Blake.
Now, Blake Griffin was the 38th ranked player in fantasy last year, but he did that in 35 minutes a game. And interestingly enough, over the back half of the season, he was outside the top 50. The minutes did drop back down and the efficiency dropped back down as well. And I think that 35 minutes a night, Matt, you can correct me if you think something different. I think that that's a little high, and I don't think we'll be seeing him at that level this year.
Yeah, and not only that, but I would anticipate that you're probably going to have more Blake rest days because it's something that we were screaming about throughout the entire season on Locked On Pistons that, yeah, they gave him a couple of back-to-backs off, I think maybe two or three. But we saw as the end of the season came on, not only were the stats down, like you said, throughout the second half of the season, but he was held out of games throughout the past 10 games or so. I think he missed about seven of those and then missed a couple of playoff games as well. And that's obviously not what you need from Blake Griffin. And that's given a season that he had basically the best case scenario health than you can reasonably expect out of him. So I think that Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff are probably going to advance to the future a little bit here in Blake's second year for him under Casey in Detroit and get some more of those back-to-back rest days and manage that load a little bit more this season.
Of course, the ESPN ranking for him is ludicrous at number 24. Under no circumstance do you draft Blake Griffin anywhere near that spot. I think he's more around the 50 to 60 type of a guy, which is where he's ranked on Yahoo. He's too high on Fantrax also at number 36. Again, with those games off, with the potential minutes coming down, with the efficiency maybe not being at where it was for the early part of last season and dropping back down to where it had been in previous seasons. I think we look at Griffin as that 50 to 60 sort of player rather than a top 30 player, which is where, again, he's listed over on ESPN. Let's talk about his front court partner now, Andre Drummond, who is the best fantasy player on this team. He is a guy that we sort of know what we're going to get. Sky-high rebounds. He's going to score well. He blocks shots. He gets very high steals. In fact, over the final 28 games of last season, he averaged over two steals a game. And his free throw percentage, it did take a little bit of a step back last season, but that improved over the second half of last season to be a 65% guy over those final 28 games. Are we going to see him start taking threes at all? Because he did threaten it at the beginning of last season, and that never really happened.
Yeah, he threw up some in the preseason at the very beginning of last season as well, but Dwayne Casey nipped that in the bud pretty quickly. Yeah, we're seeing some more of the Instagram videos of him throwing up three-pointers, but I think we're going to kind of see more of the same. Maybe he will throw some up in preseason and prove that he can't hit them whatsoever. I think 13.2% from three last year, yep. So that's a good indication of what you don't want from the offense. So, yeah, I think maybe there'll be a little bit of training camp buzz about it, but not something that I would expect any kind of production from, certainly, and probably no shots as well.
Yeah, I don't think we need to worry about that having too much of an impact. This is just who he is. You still have to really consider punting the free throw percentage with him, even though it has improved significantly. He does take so many of them, and it's still not at a great level that you do have to be wary of that, but he's going to win your rebounds. He gets steals and blocks at high rates. The field goal percentage has come back up in recent years as well, and the scoring's pretty solid. So he's solid enough in that second to third round type of an area. Again, ESPN ranked him at number 11. There's no way that you want to take him at number 11 under any circumstance. Would he be looked at in around that spot? Now, he was the 18th ranked player last year, and to be fair to him, or maybe to be fair to ESPN, actually, over the final 3 months of last season, he was the 8th ranked player overall, but again, I'm still not taking him there. That's because of those two steals per game that he was averaging during that time, and also shooting 57% from the field, a number that he hasn't really gotten anywhere close to since the 13-14 season. So I'm not expecting that to be something that continues throughout the course of the year for Andre Drummond. After those two guys, Matt, it's pretty murky. It's pretty ugly from a fantasy point of view. I don't expect anyone else to be a top 100 player on this team, but I'll ask you this question. Who is likely to be the starting small forward on this team?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Tony Snell, just because it just kind of fits offensively. Obviously, Luke Kennard's a better player than Tony Snell.
Yes.
But I just think that the way that he fits with Blake Griffin. Luke Kennard's had fit problems with Blake Griffin throughout his time that they've spent together in Detroit. Tony Snell, acquired in a trade from Milwaukee for John Luehr, ends up coming over, and he's just going to be kind of a low usage, but pretty high production from those three-point corner shots that they're going to be looking for from him in his high 30s throughout his career, and really doesn't take anything off the table defensively. So certainly when you're talking about Bruce Brown and Tony Snell possibly being your starting twos and threes, there's nothing to be excited about, and nothing at all from a fantasy perspective to be excited about. But it's probably Dwayne Casey's best call this year.
Yes, sir!
Yeah, I do think Snell is probably going to be that starter there at small forward. But everyone who listens to this podcast and has played fantasy basketball knows that Tony Snell is literally one of the worst fantasy players up there with Doug McDermott on a per-minute basis across the NBA. In fact, he had that game, I think, last season where he played 28 minutes and didn't register a single stat. So hopefully we don't get too many more of those this season, but he is not a fantasy option outside of, say, 30-team leagues. You did mention a guy who I think will end up probably playing more minutes than Snell, even if he is coming off the bench, and that is Luke Kennard into his third season. Now, I'm expecting some pretty big improvements from Kennard this season. I think he's going to get more playing time. I think the shooting's already excellent, 40% in both of his seasons from three. I think he can handle the ball a little bit more than what he's been asked to do so far. What are you expecting from Kennard here in his third season?
Yeah, I expect everything to kind of creep up a little bit, like you said. I do expect him to at least start off the season coming off the bench, but like you said, the minutes probably uptick a little bit as his career goes on. The interesting question with him, obviously, is if he plays in those second unit minutes, how he coexists with the new point guard in the second unit, being Derrick Rose there. So we don't know how those guys are going to fit together. We like to see Luke Kennard getting the ball in his hands in the half court when he had Ish Smith as kind of his backcourt running mate with the second unit. But that's one of the big questions, is how Luke Kennard and Derrick Rose are going to coexist. And then really, as we go on, I'm sure we'll talk about this too, but the point guard situation, will Derrick Rose poach some of those fourth quarter minutes from Reggie Jackson? And Reggie coming off of a really strong kind of second half of the year for his standards, and Luke Kennard the same thing. How do those fourth quarter minutes be distributed from Dwayne Casey when it's time to winning time in those end of stretch games.
I think Kennard can maybe be a top 150 player this season. It doesn't mean I think that he is a draftable guy, but he's someone to watch on the waiver wire. And if he pushes to 30 minutes a night, then and he starts getting more of those ball handling roles and starts to really develop as that guy, then he becomes a more interesting player. Now, you've talked about the point guard, so let's move on to them. Now, let's talk Reggie Jackson, who, again, someone, and I talk about this on the podcast all the time, the injury prone. He played all 82 games last season. He only played 28 minutes a night, but he was out there for all 82 of those games. He still couldn't crack the top 130 for fantasy and has not been a top 100 player for 3 years, mainly because his steal rate is anemic. His assist rate fell off as well. Only 4 assists per game. He gets no rebounds. He hit his threes, but that's really about all he does. And now Derrick Rose is there. Do you think that we'll see fewer than the 28 minutes a night that Reggie Jackson played last season?
Yeah, I don't know if it ends up averaging about that, but we're going to see fluctuation because Dwayne Casey showed that at times that Ish Smith was playing well, and he's not a guy that you would really want to consider if you're a fourth quarter point guard on a quality team. But there were times that he was playing well enough last season that he'd get those fourth quarter minutes. I would suspect that Derrick Rose has more nights this season than Ish Smith had last season, that he's playing better than Reggie Jackson going into that fourth quarter. And I would suspect that there's going to be more nights that Reggie Jackson ends up having those minutes cut because he doesn't get put back in the bench or back into the game off the bench late in the game there. So I would suspect that those minutes probably go down a little bit. But that could be a good thing. As you said, Reggie Jackson playing 82 games was a huge surprise for everyone this past season, given his injury history. So, from a Pistons perspective, it's a good thing to keep his minutes low and to try to keep the efficiency as high as possible. Now, obviously, from a fantasy perspective, that doesn't make him any more valuable to be playing less minutes. But, for the long haul, it was good. And really, talking about Luke Kennard and Reggie Jackson, of course, they got, waxed in the playoffs by the Milwaukee Bucks. But those are two guys that really showed themselves pretty well in that four-game sweep. And the struggles that Andre Drummond had, the injury that Blake Griffin had during that series, Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard both played pretty well. So that could be something that spills over to the summer and has them kind of motivated to get things going. Reggie Jackson obviously going into a contract year this year, and Andre Drummond pretty much going into the same thing as he has a player option going into the 2020-2021 season. But from his recent comments, it sounds like an option that he's probably going to decline.
Yeah, that was the recent stuff coming out from Drummond, that he's going to be exploring the free agency, although he did say that he loves Detroit and wants to be here. But declining that option would make sense for Drummond. As for Jackson, again, not a guy that I'm looking at as any sort of high upside late round pick. I think he's solid enough if you're looking for some points and threes, but overall, there are going to be better options, I think, in those later rounds than Reggie Jackson. Derrick Rose had some really strong moments last season. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with him this year. He played a lot of two guard last season. Didn't play a lot of point guard. Do you think that the Pistons are looking to have him as the backup point guard, the backup two guard, the backup both of those positions, and get the majority of those minutes coming off the bench so he plays sort of high twice 20s in minutes?
I'm not sure. I mean, there'll be times when he is the backup point guard. There'll be times that he is the backup two guard, but I don't buy that he's going to get an uptick in minutes from what he had last year, just because there's other two guards that this team wants to try out. I know that Kyrie Thomas and Svi Mykhailiuk aren't guys that people from a fantasy perspective care about, but these are guys that are coming into their third year as players in the NBA, and they're going to have to figure out if these guys are worth it to stick around with in the long haul. They've got kind of a glut of shooting guards right now. And I know that Derrick Rose shot the threes well to start the season last year in Minnesota, but I don't think that's something that anyone really believes is sustainable given his past struggles from three-point land. So I think it's more likely that those kind of guys, the Kyrie Thomases and Svi Mykhailiuks of the world, get some more looks at that backup two, and that Derrick Rose, yeah, and there were times that Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith played together point guards that played together as ones and twos on the court last year for Dwayne Casey. So there will be those times, but I think it's more likely that some of those other guys get some looks at the two and three spots. Langston Galloway, keep in mind, he's still there. He's a veteran who's going to get some minutes as well. So, there's some guys on this roster that's going to keep Derrick Rose's minutes from going down. And again, that's probably a good thing from a Pistons perspective, because another guy with a long, long list of injury problems that you want to keep as healthy as possible as the season goes on.
Yeah, I also don't think Rose is much of a fantasy option. You mentioned the shooting. He shot 37% from three last season. That's great. And then shot about 2% in the 2019 portion of the season. In fact, I think he hit one, yeah, so two, five threes in the entire of the 2019 portion of the season. And when three of those came in one game, and then he just didn't hit any at all throughout that time period. And that's more in line with what he's been doing as a 28-29% three-point shooter. So don't buy into that too much. Let's talk about the guy who is going to be almost definitely the starter at shooting guard, Bruce Brown, who, I guess surprised a lot of people by being a starter there as a rookie. And then in summer league, he took over the point guard role, had a triple double. And yeah, he showed some of that stuff during his time in Miami. Do you think we'll get to see much of him running any, backup units as a point guard this season? Or is he strictly going to be that low usage, just play defense shooting guard that he was last year?
It's something that we've heard about for a long time here in Detroit, and not just Bruce Brown, but also Luke Kennard and even Svi Mykhailiuk. These are guys that at one time or another last season, Dwayne Casey mentioned as guys that could play some point guard with some backup units. And Luke Kennard was going to go into summer league last year as a guy who played point guard, but he had the knee injury and wasn't able to play in summer league. But Bruce Brown last year as a rookie did play some point guard in summer league and then really had like three or four possessions that he played point guard all of last season. So yeah, there's a little bit of smoke there. And like you said, going into summer league this year, he did play a lot of point guard, did run some pick and rolls there with some of the big guys in Las Vegas. So I think that there might be a chance if any of those guys will get some run and some playmaking ability was shown by Bruce Brown there. And again, this is not things that fantasy owners should really be considering, but if you're following the Pistons, Bruce Brown stepping up and possibly being a point guard option off the bench is something that could make this team a little bit better, because if you throw his defensive abilities out there instead of a Derrick Rose or Reggie Jackson, that can improve this team a little bit. So it's an experiment worth taking for Dwayne Casey, but like I said, it's something they've talked about for a while but really haven't done so far in his time in Detroit.
Brown can have some fantasy value, maybe as like a 16-team league guy, because he steals at a high rate. He blocks shots at a very good rate. We just need the shooting to come along. 26% from three last season, under 40% from the field overall. He shot these free throws well, limited attempts, but he shot them okay. So there is some hope that he can improve there as a shooter. Still shot poorly at summer league from three, but averaged 13.5, 8, and 8.5 with 1.5 blocks and 1.3 steals. Some pretty impressive numbers. And that's why he is a name to watch. If he pushes up in those high 20 minutes, the steal and block numbers from a guard could be useful. And if he starts handling the ball a bit, Brown can be a little bit interesting there. So he's just more of a name to watch in that group of guards that the Pistons do have. Markieff Morris signed here to, you know, sensibly be the backup power forward, but also probably to get some minutes as a backup center on this team. I don't think we're getting anywhere near the Markieff Morris that we saw in his prime in Washington. His neck injury hampered him last season, and he was very poor as a member of the Thunder. He is. Do you think we'll see him at both those forward positions, or strictly just backing up, say, Griffin?
No, I think he will play some backup five, and if only because there's really not a lot of other good options for the Pistons at that point. You know, you had Zaza Pachulia there last year, and he was going to get the bulk of the backup 5 minutes. But right now, you got Markieff Morris, you have Thon Maker, and then you have Christian Wood as options at the backup five position. None of those guys are obviously natural fives, and it's going to be small ball whatever way you look at it. But I think that Markieff Morris, given that he's, you know, has a lot more history in the league and a lot more bulk than those guys, I think he's going to be kind of the first option as that backup center. Now, if you're the Pistons, you hope that Thon Maker grows into that, and he's such a skinny guy. You guys know that down in Australia, that it's tough for him to bang bodies down there. But, you know, and Christian Wood's kind of the developmental guy who looks like more of a power forward anyways. So, yeah, I do believe that Markieff Morris gets some of those minutes. And, you know, he's going to have to show it for several weeks that he's the kind of player that he was for a couple of years there in Washington before we believe that he's any kind of fantasy option.
Yeah, he's a long way from being a fantasy option. He needs 30-plus minutes to really crack the top 100, and he's not going to get anywhere near that. Of course, Christian Wood, you mentioned, who put up some absolutely ridiculous numbers for the Pelicans last season. It's going to be impossible, pretty much, for him to get that. But of course, with Blake Griffin's injury history, and if Wood can outplay Thon, and if he can outplay Markieff, there is an opportunity. He's always a name to watch. No matter where Christian Wood goes, you always watch to see if those opportunities open up, because his ability to block shots, hit threes, reads, score, rebound, get steals is really important for fantasy. Just getting that opportunity can be a little bit tough. And we've mentioned Thon already, who struggled quite a bit last season. I thought almost went backwards, I thought, in his development. Struggled when he had to replace Griffin during the playoffs. And just hasn't really developed into the sort of shooter that he needs to become to be useful. So I really worry about where his future sits in the NBA. You mentioned Langston Galloway, who played entirely too many minutes last season, in my opinion. Will he be a rotation guy, or are they hoping that guys like Kyrie Thomas can come up and take that role that Galloway seemed to steal off other people last season?
I think fans have been waiting for Kyrie Thomas and Svi Mykhailiuk to take those minutes, but I think Dwayne Casey's just one of these veteran coaches who gives the veterans their shot. And like you said, Langston Galloway got a lot of minutes off the bench last year, more than he probably deserved, but maybe that was more of an indication that Kyrie Thomas and Svi Mykhailiuk weren't ready quite yet. And right when Langston Galloway was as bad as he could have been, he really went on one of these hot streaks and had a nice month where he was one of the hotter three-point shooters in the league. So he had kind of a really strong month there, and then regressed to where you kind of expect him to be. So he's kind of like this guy who really all you can do is shoot threes, and he hasn't really done that well here in Detroit. So I suspect that this will probably be Langston Galloway's last year in Detroit, as he's on a contract year. And there's the young guys behind him, and I think he'll kind of get phased out as the season goes on. But I do believe that he'll get some minutes early on in the season off the bench to kind of, see if he's developed his three-pointers more consistently. And he'll probably be the first guy to get that crack of some of those backup 2 minutes. But I suspect that as the season goes on, he probably fades out of the rotation.
The biggest indication of what Galloway is as a player, if you look at his mid to late December run, he had 24 points, and in the next game he had 1 point on three shots. Then he had 17 and 14, and then he had 5, 8, and 0, and then had 18 and 22, and then 0 again. So he is just wildly inconsistent, and with the shooting, with the scoring, it was weird to watch. It just consistent back and forward in terms of how he looked on the court last season. We've mentioned Kyrie Thomas's name quite a bit here. He was a 40% three-point shooter at Creighton. Didn't obviously shoot that well last season in the NBA, but just for people who don't know about Thomas, like what is his game? Where could he potentially fit in? Not necessarily this season, but in seasons to come.
Yeah, I mean, he was the Big East player of the year at Creighton as well, in addition to some pretty good shooting numbers. He's a guy who's kind of billed as a 3-and-D type of player. He's a little bit smaller than you might like as a guy that you want as a defensive specialist at 6'3", 210 pounds. Not nearly the playmaker that Bruce Brown is, or even Svi Mykhailiuk could be as well. So, Kyrie Thomas is a guy who's a long ways away from being a rotation guy, but at times he looked like he belonged out there when he got limited minutes in the NBA for the Pistons last season. So, we're talking about a guy who averaged 2 points a game last year, but was able to knock down shots from corner threes, and that's going to be the role that they envision for him next year. In summer league, he knocked down 7 threes in the first game against Ukraine this past summer. So, again, a guy with potential to possibly crack the rotation, especially if given the chance this year. So, possibly a name to keep an eye on.
They also brought in Tim Frazier from the Pelicans. And whenever Frazier gets an opportunity to start, he can put up assists. He also struggles mightily in terms of being a good and winning player. But where is he sitting in this mix? Is he just a real emergency type point guard?
Yeah, he's the solid number three point guard. And I think that the Pistons kind of learned their lesson with Ish Smith going down last year for kind of an extended time, that they had to bring in Jose Calderon and give him real minutes as the backup point guard last year. And really, if you look at some of the numbers and watch some of the games, he might have been the worst player in the NBA last year with the what he was able to contribute. He's just over the hill, as we all will be someday.
Yes.
And Tim Frazier is obviously an upgrade over that. And, certainly there's no reason to get too excited about Tim Frazier. But if he has to step in to a backup point guard role, if Derrick Rose and or Reggie Jackson go down, which is certainly something that's within the realm of possibility and probably even likely as the season goes on, the Pistons will have a lot more competent of an emergency point guard with Tim Frazier than they did with Jose.
Let's now talk about the Pistons' first round draft pick. We saw him for 15 minutes in summer league, Seko Dumbuya. Just more mainly Grand Rapids minutes for Dumbuya this season.
Yeah, I would suspect so. I mean, but one thing, if you look at the Pistons roster, there is like some small forward, a little bit of a dearth there. So maybe there will be a possibility as the season goes on. I mean, this is a guy who's going to be the youngest player in the NBA, certainly a guy that they're looking at as a contributor in years to come, and certainly a guy who's very raw as well. They believe that he could be a very athletic, you know, Pascal Siakam type of guy down the road, and a guy who's going to need to become a consistent three-point shooter. But the tools are there. There's a pretty weak draft, so when he falls to you at number 15, you feel pretty good about it. You hope that he's pretty good in the future, but certainly there's no reason to believe that he's going to be a consistent rotation player, consistent contributor this year. Like you said, he'll see some time in Grand Rapids, maybe even a lot of time in Grand Rapids. But another name to watch for, another name to keep an eye on. And if you, you know, feel like he's maybe it's this year, maybe it's the year after that, if you see that he's starting to get something cooking here in Detroit, he might be a guy you want to pick up, especially in stash leagues.
Yeah, he's very interesting for me long term. I think that he's better than the pick 15 where they got him. I think he's a top 10 player in this draft class who's got some creation ability, some shooting ability, some defensive ability. I think he can be a really interesting player, not only just for fantasy, but in the NBA. It's just going to be probably a couple of years away because, as you mentioned, he's still yet to turn 19 and doesn't turn 19 until December this year, the youngest player currently in the NBA. Last question for you, Matt. Is Michael Beasley going to make this roster?
It's going to come down to Michael Beasley and Christian Wood for that 15th spot on the roster as we stand right now before training camp starts. Both of them have non-guaranteed deals. So it's kind of like you and I going into grade school basketball and one of us is going to get the spot on the roster. It's really kind of a throwback like that. Michael Beasley and Christian Wood, it's pretty much going to come down to it. And to me, I give the nod to the younger guy. I think that Christian Wood might get that roster spot, especially considering that you have guys like Markieff Morris out there and Thon Maker out there who you expect to possibly be options as backup front court players. And then, but yeah, if you feel like that you need that scoring punch as a wing and into a small front court player, then Michael Beasley, as we know, can heat it up in short periods of time offensively. Obviously, has never fulfilled the potential that he showed as a young player and at Kansas State for his one season there. But I would say, in my opinion, a little bit less than a 50% chance of making this roster. But, you know, a guy that's had some moments in the NBA, and he'll be gunning to keep his career alive in training camp coming up soon.
He's already amazingly 30 years of age, Beasley. I would be taking Wood over him every day of the week. He's also suspended for the beginning of this season with a drug-related offense for the first 5 games of the year. Beasley will be out if he's even on this roster. I don't imagine he will be on the roster, but I thought I'd bring him up just as a last question here before we let you go. Now, the draft value guy, there's not much in terms of value. I think Luke Kennard at 237 on Yahoo is pretty ridiculous, and on a 14-team league, he's a draftable guy, so you should be looking at him there. Whereas as a bust player, Drummond at number 11, that's just way too high to be taking him. I could have had Griffin there at 24 as well as being too high of an option over on ESPN. Matt, thank you for coming on Locked On Fantasy Basketball with me. Let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter and on the podcast.
Yeah, the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're here getting ready for the season as everyone else is. Give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that. I follow all the Detroit teams for the Detroit News, covering the Lions, covering the Pistons, covering the Red Wings, covering the Tigers, Michigan football, Michigan State football as well. And we'll go into basketball season. So all sorts of things about not just the Pistons, but Detroit teams as well. We're on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. And always appreciate spending time with you, Josh. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Matt, for coming on and talking about the Detroit Pistons.
And a big thanks once again to Josh Lloyd for joining us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, giving us a national perspective for the Pistons from the fantasy basketball perspective. We appreciate that, our annual show that we always enjoy doing with him. So we'll be back tomorrow with another show here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Have a good one, everyone.